EA meeting Wednesday, May 20th, 2009.
There you go.
Okay, good afternoon, everyone. Thank you for joining today's meeting, May 20th, 2009, of the Employee Assembly. At this time, I'd like to call today's meeting to order and ask if there's any late additions to our agenda.
Pipeline low.
Okay, we do have a packed agenda today. Hopefully we will get through everything, so we're going to move at a quick pace. We'll move on to our report from our employee elected trustee, Beth McKinney. She's not able to make it at this time. She may be able to catch the tail end of the meeting. And if she does, we'll move her in line when she shows up. Oh, okay. Thank you. Report from our SA representative. Was she able to pass anything on to anybody? Okay, we'll pass. And we'll move to the report from our UA representative. Who is that now?
I don't know if we have one.
It's Leon and...
Leon and Rodney.
And Rodney. And do we need one more?
Yeah, Bill.
Yeah, Bill.
Well, we need two more.
Two more? Yeah, the University Assembly is... in need of a couple more representatives from the employees.
So University Assembly?
Yes.
What?
Anybody want to fill you on top of that? Oh,
you can go. Well, the University Assembly meets every 2 weeks like we do. 4 to 6 of Atlanta when the University Assembly meets.
I'm trying to think of the agenda.
4:30.
Yeah. 4:30. So they meet in the evening, and we have representatives from UA on there, and UA represents, has a cross-section of all of the different assemblies, the student assemblies on there, the faculty, the employee assembly, so it's kind of cross-campus, cross-constituency group. And they meet and talk about many of the similar topics we do and so forth, but more on a broader scale of the university. Leanne, I don't know if you want to add anything to that. We're just talking about the UA and what they do. In the same way, we have two openings right now because I'm off and there was one vacancy already.
And Kelly Johnson.
And Kelly Dunn.
So, is there a process for getting on that? Or
it's whoever is interested. Actually, what I can do is make a call for anyone interested to send an email. There's also a website. What you need to do is go to the Employee Assembly website committees and go through the process of that, and you get appointed by the EA.
Friends?
Yes.
Can I ask what you guys are going to do to publicize those openings?
It'll be up to the new EA.
Yeah, the new EA probably have to work on that. I'm done.
I know. Before the school starts, they started to cover those kind of people.
Well, Bill's is up now.
Yeah.
There's kind of a gap in between when Bill's off and the new ones would start, which is going to be worked out. It's something we did discuss, and that's going to be worked out in the future to see if we close that gap or just keep it how it is. The strategy for getting new recruits on that committee, I guess, starts right now with everyone being aware, and new members may have an opportunity to show interest. I would check up maybe on the next meeting, see if they move forward on it. We don't want to go. Okay.
Does the University Assembly meet through the summer?
No.
They don't. Okay, so we would have time to recruit and get somebody right on board. Okay, Leon, is there anything to report regarding the University Assembly?
No, their next major project is going to be revising the charter, updating the charter.
Oh, you would be good for that.
Yeah, I did wrongly too.
For those of you who don't know, Leon was very instrumental in reviewing our charter and proposing the changes that we did pass the referendum on. Okay, we'll move to our EA representative to the Faculty Senate. Alan is not here, so we'll pass. We'll move it to Bill Liddick, the report from our Staff Climate Survey Steering Committee.
Well, as you know, the last meeting, there's nothing, and there won't be probably for a year, so I don't know if you want to keep having that on there. Just wait until we react to things, basically.
Okay.
So we could
take that off the agenda for the near future. Move to the report from the chair. Today is
my last official employee assembly meeting. We'll have new officers come June. Someone else will be able to take the helm. It started off very challenging for me. It got challenging in between, and it remains challenging even now. So it is difficult to balance work life, personal life, with a volunteer commitment such as the employee assembly and everything else that goes along with it. I wish the employee assembly the best of luck in the future. I believe we have some strong members now, and we have just received some strong members. Some of them I know personally. I think we're positioned, the work we've done for the last 2 years has positioned the EA to actually move forward with a lot of momentum and really take a handle of future initiatives and supporting our staff here. It has been fun, but it's time for me to step down. We're down in FTE at work, and David Brooks is also in my department, so that would mean there'd be too many people not at work during times of employee assembly. Unless I had to come in on weekends. It's been a pleasure working with everybody. I've learned a lot. I've grown a lot in character, in value. I'm going to miss a lot of you, and don't be surprised if I don't show up time to time to sit on the outside and listen. And please use me as a resource in the future whenever you need any extra eyes or ears. Any questions for me?
Thank you, Brian.
Well, if you're listening to these meeting minutes, just take note, everyone stood up. This Friday is the meeting of the Board of Trustees. It's happening. There are tickets. It's on a first-come, first-served basis. So if you're interested in attending this on Friday afternoon, I suggest trying to grab your tickets quickly. I don't know if there's any left. The Employee Assembly does get some spotlight. We do give our report to the board. I will not be in attendance. I'm graduating. I said this before. Jason Seymour will be doing the report in place of me. And if you can attend, it'd be great. Jason will do a great job. We'll get together definitely tomorrow. I'm not here Friday. Maybe they'll wrap it up. Yeah. You can call me at home too. We can work it out. Okay, we're going to move on to the approval of our meeting minutes. We only have one. Yes, Lance.
Brian, your presentation last year to the board was tremendous.
Thank you.
That was really very, very good.
Were you there?
I was there.
Gary, was it good or not?
It's okay.
Were you there?
Yeah, I was there.
Oh. Okay, May 6, 2009. Meeting minutes. Give everybody a quick minute to look over these.
Mr. Chairman, I would make a motion to approve the minutes as submitted.
Second.
I have a motion and second. Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Abstained? All right, we'll approve these meeting minutes as they are. Okay, we're going to move on to our committee reports. The good parts of today's meeting are yet to come. Move on to our executive committee. I'm going to hand this over to Jason to give everyone an update and talk about this resolution.
Brian, can I just jump in here real quick?
Yes.
As a parliamentarian, I look for any background on resolutions that would provide us some guidance, and I couldn't find any. But I just say from personal experience, I'm on a lot of nonprofit boards, and it's rare that the boards I'm on that we get a resolution and vote on it
the same day.
At the same day.
Right.
And I don't know if that's a protocol that we want to adopt or not. I mean, some of this stuff is pretty light lifting. Some of it's not.
Right.
So it's something for this group to think about.
Did we have discussed that the best people to answer that would be either Jason, if you can, or Ari. Okay, let's Ari. this topic did come up through discussion and email, and we...
Yeah, I just
to clarify,
Resolutions requiring charter change are the ones that are more specific to having a prior meeting notice. A simple resolution like this one on the provost initiative would be something that could come up at a meeting and be voted on at the meeting. The more complicated charter changing ones, those are the ones where the notice comes into play.
And I was just going to further expand upon that. There are two resolutions that involve charter changes today. One of them, the one that's a clarification about reporting to other administrators, I felt, and I provided this explanation to Jason as well, that this one did not require another meeting's notice because it was quite minor, and also that there had been some feedback to the executive committee that President Gordon wanted this clarification before he signed up on all the other changes. Mm-hmm. And it's minor because it's clarifying that something wasn't taken away that's in the current charter.
That's a good point.
And it's a modification of a proposal that's already been extensively vetted. And it's not really a modification so much as being clear, no, we did not need to take this out.
Right.
The other change, the one dealing with the CARE Fund, the only part that is a charter change there is getting rid of the Emergency Grant Fund Committee, which is in the charter, even though the Emergency Grant Fund itself is not in the charter. So, and the logic behind that was, if the committee's sole function is to administer that program, then there isn't much sense in keeping the committee on the books. Technically, by the rules in the new charter, assuming those are in place soon, I think also by the rules in the existing charter, there should be another meeting before the grant committee is removed. But I said that I thought it was fine to put that whole thing together in one resolution and just say, to confirm the removal of that committee, there needs to be a second vote on that at the next EA.
Okay. Well, I guess when we get to the CARE Fund, we'll...
Let's see how it goes.
Yep.
I'm not... If we... Yes, Pat.
Mr. Chairman, in light of time constraints,
yes.
Would it be acceptable to move that discussion up in the agenda?
I went to the next to come to this one. I thought by 12:45 we were going to be done, and I had to be back at the other meeting at that time.
I don't see any reason why we can't move it to our next item on top of the staff recognition and awards committee. If everyone else is, anybody have any? That we move these items around. We can just move it really next on the list. Okay? And then I think what we'll do is, if I'm not against pushing any of these off to another meeting, but let's see where we get during the discussion. We will have discussion on these resolutions. Even if there's a motion, we're going to have discussion. I'm not going to move it through. Anything else? So we'll start. We're going to go back to our EA representation resolution, and we're going to move right to the emergency grant CARE Fund and the resolution on a transfer of the CARE Fund. Right? Go ahead.
Okay, so this resolution is pretty, very, very simple. In a nutshell, I'll read the resolution. But in a nutshell, we're just formally asking the provost office through the president that we would like an employee representative on any new provost initiative.
Actually, can we put that one on hold? Can we get to the CARE Fund?
The reason why this one is urgent is because this is supposed to form committees in the summer, so I want to make sure that this gets approved.
We'll get to it right after this one.
Okay.
I think there's one that has to be in the CARE Fund.
Okay.
Okay, who's taking the lead on the CARE Fund? Pat? Okay. Sorry
about that. I believe that everyone has had an opportunity to read the resolution. Just a brief summary of the purpose of this resolution. Over the past few months, as new chair of the committee, several issues came to light. They're reflected in this resolution. And I've also had discussions with the Office of Assembly, with Lynette Chappelle-Williams, who is here with us today,
and Betsy Schreier, kind of communicating those concerns and discussing with them their interest in taking the fund under their purview. My feeling is that this is a fund that really is a program, and the Employee Assembly is not in the business of overseeing or maintaining programs. We are really a different type of a unit. So that's what initiated those conversations. And as a result of many of those conversations, discussions with the CARE Fund Committee, and with kind of unofficial voting, this resolution came to light. The thing that I do want to acknowledge and recognize before we go any further, the Emergency Grant Fund is a phenomenal opportunity for employees to take advantage of. And I want to personally, on behalf of the committee and the EA, commend Michael Esposito, Deb Phillips, and Dennis Stein for initiating this fund, taking care of this fund, and really being strong supporters of this fund over the past several years. So I don't want that to go unnoticed, and I don't want to, if this fund moves to the Office of Human Resources, Division of Human Resources, I think it's critical that any communication that goes out with regard to the promotion of this fund does make certain that the historical perspective of this fund is in place, i.e. where it started, how it started, and that the EA played a large role in that with the support and dedication of Michael, Dennis, and Deb.
How many years ago was that?
2001?
2002 years ago.
2002.
It's always counting on you, Peter. I mean, you're just witty repartee.
Pat, what is this resolution? I'm not good at reading.
Mm-hmm.
Can you, in English, what is this?
Basically, what the purpose of the resolution is to take the CARE funds from under the purview of the Employee Assembly and move it to the Division of Human Resources. And under the Division of Human Resources, there would be, my belief, a better oversight of the financial aspects, the management, any audit issues would be much more easily resolved if it were under a program that, or a unit division that is much more qualified and capable of taking care of those issues. One of the very important pieces of this resolution is that the EA or a member of the EA continue to play a role in this fund. Through conversations with Lynette and Betsy, that is a very important piece for them as well. If there is a new committee, and I assume there will be formed, the EA will have an active participation in that committee, reviews and changes to the procedures and policies. We will be solicited for input and guidance. So this really isn't something that we're just throwing away. We're still going to play an active role in this fund. It's just that the operational aspect of this fund is going to move to a much more qualified and skilled group. So kind of in a nutshell, that's what this resolution says.
Okay, at this point we're going to take questions. We're going to do it in an orderly fashion. If you raise your hand and I'll acknowledge you for a question. If you have any questions for Pat, comments?
I actually don't have a question, but since I'm a committee member.
Sure, of course.
I also was the person who got the okay from a senior leadership team to add this to the payroll deduction, thereby creating another source of income, and then thinking about how to publicize it. Also, part of the discussion to expand it beyond staff to include faculty and academic staff, because we are a campus community, so I think that was another part of the drive to make it under the aegis of another entity that really is about the community. All employees at Cornell, so faculty and academic staff are employees as well. So that was the second piece of it. And third was, when we started looking at expanding the guidelines, I know Pat felt this, and we looked at other universities' emergency funds and what they do. I felt really aware of the fact that we really need HR expertise in crafting these guidelines. I mean, it's really not, I mean, when you're talking about helping people in emergency and resources available to them, I think it's really important to have that level of expertise and not have it be exclusively volunteer. So I think from those three reasons are very, part, a really important part of the reason why it should be moved from under the office of the which is part of the university communications division, to human resources division, where the people who are experts in helping people are.
Thank you, Shelley. Leon.
One of the things that I wanted to mention, and some of you probably saw the email that I sent last night, but I think it's important where it has fiscal year beginning. I think the exact date should be there because fiscal years are different. Some are in October. Well, they're all over the place. Some are July 1st. If that's July 1st, 2009, I think it should say that. The other thing that just came up that you mentioned, Pat, is the active role for EA participation in the fund. I'm just wondering if that should be mentioned anywhere in there. Because while Lynette, Mary, and Betsy are here, we all know them, or most of us know them. Those positions can change. And,
can you point that out, Pat? Where is it?
Yes, actually, B is therefore resolved that it's the third bullet. The division will establish a review committee that will include at least one representative appointed by the assembly. So we have definitely included that.
Okay. I made the changes for the date noted, Leon. So any discussion? Is there any? I'll get July 1, 2009.
Like I said, because there's different fiscal years.
Right. I want to, before we get off track, I want to make sure, because Leon would vote whether this at July 1st or not. It's going to make a difference. So anybody against this statement saying, be it therefore resolved that effective for the fiscal year beginning in 2009, get changed to fiscal year beginning July 1st, 2009. Any problems? It doesn't make any
difference. That's an extremely friendly amendment.
Okay. when I propose this vote, if we get to a vote, I want to make sure I include everything. Gary.
Okay. So I know this has been kicking around for a while, but I wonder what the founding mothers and fathers of the fund thought, the Phillips and Esposito and Stein have weighed in and if they have any opinion on the issue.
I will give what I know, and then we can ask one of the founding fathers, Dennis, who is
the founding fathers.
I have heard, and now this is hearsay, because it's coming from me, from something I heard, and my interpretation could be off, but it's my understanding their main concern were two areas. One is the EA loses the coverage of this. This was great for marketing for us, and we worked hard to move this fund forward to where it is currently, and two was that we had EA representation in this fund. And
there's actually a third.
What was the third?
And one of the concerns is the fundraising component.
Yes.
Continue to sustain the fund, and I think Lynette could probably address that. But
sure.
I will say that Michael did share an email with the committee. He did bring up a couple of those concerns. I think that Michael, Dennis, and Deb are very, very passionate about this fund, and I think they all believe that it still should stay within the EA. But I can let Dennis speak further to that. I will share with you that Michael responded by email. I did not hear from Deb. I did give several opportunities for those who wanted to comment to do so, and I have not heard from Deb. So Dennis was at the meeting and certainly shared his perspective, which he knew right now.
William?
Sure.
Thank you.
Happy to. I'm one of the three members of the committee who don't support the resolution. Deb and Michael do not as well. I think it's telling the fact that we're the individuals who were there from the very beginning, are concerned about the direction that this fund seems to be taking. It's not that we're mastodons and cannot change. It's that we're very invested in it, and we believe that the employee assembly's interests are best served by retaining the funds and continuing to have it as a fund that's neutral. There's $44,000 plus in the fund. This is money that employees raised for other employees through options and through charitable giving. For you to cede the fund to an administrative function means you're giving up this money that employees gave to you to administer for other employees. That's not to suggest that a new organization looking over this fund would do an inadequate job, but the fund was created by the employee assembly. For you to cede it and give it away, you give away a part of your history. The employee assembly made this fund came into being as a result of fundraising efforts on the part of the employee assembly to help fellow colleagues in Arecibo who were devastated by a hurricane in 2001. The employee assembly did such a phenomenal job of raising those funds that the administration at that time was interested in having the fund continue. The employee assembly, under Michael, created the framework and the structure for this fund and started to continue the idea of fundraising. The administration gave $25,000 to seed the fund. That money has been given away in the amount of grants since that time. And the money that's in the fund now is money that did not come from the administration. It came from employees through the auction and through contributions. So there's that content. We're concerned about the content. We're also concerned about the process, the procedures. Here's the last meeting that five or six of the members around this table, this is the last time they can vote. This is a very major change on an initiative that you have had in your back pocket since 2002. I find it very strange that you would feel at a point that you could, those of you who are leaving, make such a major decision for those who are coming to take your place to have to live with and deal with. I think that you have not had a chance to talk with your constituents. This has been all very rushed. The very fact that Ari talked about, normally you would have a time between meetings when a resolution is introduced, and then when you vote on it, what's the purpose of that? So you can talk with your constituents. You can talk with people who have contributed to this fund, who have been part of the auctions, who have volunteered their time, who have a vested interest in this fund, and see what they think. It's not for you to decide. It's always been a constituency-driven body, and you have not had time to talk with your constituents. So I don't see a rush for this. If this is a worthwhile thing, the new group coming in will recognize that and they can make that decision. But I do not think that it's not best practice, as Gary suggested. It's never good practice for a group with so many exiting members to make a rash judgment on something that they've not had a chance to talk with their constituents about. So that's the procedural aspect of this that I'm very concerned about. You do not look good in the eyes of your constituents by making a decision on something so quickly and rationally.
Thank you, Dennis.
Thank you.
Any comments for Dennis or any other questions? Kelly?
I do have a comment, which is that the fund may have been started by the employee assembly, but you know, from my perspective now, for over 2 years I've been looking at the assembly, and I went back to the minutes because I remember that when I first started to attend employee assembly meetings, I remember that the report for the committee was a deadline to sit down and that they hadn't met. And so, you know, I mean, it seems like there's a report group that's been involved, but it really hasn't had much to do with the employee assembly for quite some time. And so, you know, the question is how much constituent representation has the committee actually had? Now, this year, more people came on, and it's a bigger group. But, and the other thing is that, I guess I raised this issue, but the actual membership of the committee as currently constituted, because there was a new process that the employee assembly implemented that people could be appointed by the chair and actually serve on the committee. So, you know, it's not even clear to me who's actually been on the committee for several years now. So, the committee itself serves a program that benefits the entire employee community. And so I think that that's the thing that we really need to keep sight of, that it's actually a committee that should include, and there have been gifts from faculty members as well. And I think that just like with the hardship fund, where faculty and staff can contribute and can benefit, that the emergency fund also should serve all employees who can contribute and who can benefit. So from that point of view, it really, you know, even though it may have had its roots for staff only, I think that at a time when we're really trying to build community relations at Cornell, I think that it should be an all Cornell community effort.
Thank you, Kelly. Any comments for Kelly? Any other questions?
The review committee, the representative, it's like that. Is it going to be like a vote taken on different things, or is that just too early to tell how that committee is going to be set up?
Can I speak to this actually? Because when we moved to talk to include faculty, I actually contacted the dean of faculty to keep to talk about getting faculty and the various representatives, and also Cornell's hiring representatives. We also opened up, part of our resolution was to include retirees as well. So moving forward, the committee should have representation from all of those constituent groups. That's sort of already been discussed, and there are actually faculty members and emeritus who are interested in serving and retirees as well. So I forgot to say that, but that's definitely in the works.
Can I just make a comment?
Yeah, David.
I really don't see that a faculty member who makes 2 to 3 times more than a staff member needs an emergency care fund. That's just my opinion. I mean, some of these people are making 6 figures, and staff members are making $20,000 to $30,000 a year.
So, do you think that they should not donate to help staff members?
Well, they can donate because they can. Absolutely.
They can benefit from it?
Maybe there should be a cap, like a salary cap for these care funds. You know what I mean? They can. Jobs and money.
I think the hardship
really
fund, the hardship fund has a cap on it, and it kind of is serving the needs of our constituents.
I think that would be more fair if there was a cap.
Right.
That way it could include everyone, but, you know.
Meaning a cap is?
Income.
There you go.
Yes.
Okay, Pat?
Mr. Chairman, I guess I appreciate what you're saying, and I think that would be for the future owners if this fund does end up transferring. I think that would be a decision that they would, again, solicit input from the EA to make a determination. But to get back to a couple of things that Dennis had said, and I think it's important for people to realize that according to the charter, which really didn't give us a very clear understanding of what the emergency grant fund, really the processes and procedures consisted of. That fund, over the past 5 years, I believe, has functionally operated without an actual EA member in charge of the fund. The individual who was making, authorizing check requests, having signature approval for those checks, was not an EA member. And that was the first piece that I became very concerned about, because it's very important to understand that if this is an EA program and it's administered through the Office of Assemblies, that should be where that whole piece of the financial component should run through. And it hasn't. And I immediately became concerned about that. I'm not saying that that won't be the future, but it just supports what Kelly was originally saying, that this group has pretty much operated independently of the Employee Assembly. And I feel that if it is an EA committee, then the EA should be in control of it, not the other way around. So that's the thing that I wanted to say that I felt was important.
Okay. Any others have any comments? Yes.
I would just like to mention and add a few more details, and that the group that Pat is talking about are folks who all have had a robust history with the Employee Assembly. Michael was chair of the Employee Assembly during the period of time the fund was created. Deb Billis was a long-term member of the Employee Assembly and chaired the auction fundraising for a long time, and I've been an officio member of this group for 16 years now, and regularly attend meetings and report on progress in lieu of other folks who are directly involved in the Employee Assembly. So I don't think there's been an effort of a smaller group to control the fund. It's a matter of the employee assembly does not have its focus on the fund at that point. And the group who were members of it, and there were other folks as well, continue to move on in the spirit of the fund and make decisions based on the criteria that the fund has established.
Thank you, Dennis.
So I would make one final point. I think that the biggest concern that I feel about this fund is the operational aspect of it. And I feel that the employee assembly is not in a position to be a manager of a fund, an account, or a program. And I believe very strongly if Lynette, the Office of Human Resources, Betsy Schreier are willing and welcome that opportunity to be proper managers and take care of this fund from a really solid operational aspect, that's where it belongs. It doesn't take anything away from the purpose of the fund, the concept that this fund is out there to serve employees, faculty, academics, whomever we want to see. I think it is better served in a unit or a division that is qualified to take care of the operational piece of this fund.
Okay. I'm going to do my last. Yeah.
Just one last thing. In the last paragraph, are we transferring the fund to the people or to their offices? And, for example, if this is effective July 1st, if any three of those people retire on June 30th, would it be going to them or to their offices?
That last sentence is just saying that those groups will be informed about the resolution. It's not transferring the authority to the people. It's transferring it to the division of human resources.
It's just transferring the resolution to them.
Yeah.
If the resolution passes, these people will be notified.
Okay.
Or if it doesn't pass.
Who would have authority?
Okay.
It would be the
fine.
Vice President of Human Resources.
Thank you.
Okay. What do we lose if this moves? What does the EA lose? And this is for anyone. I don't have to acknowledge it.
I guess the manager, trying to manage the fund.
Okay.
The management of it, I guess.
So the ownership. We lose the ownership in the history.
It's ownership. I think the history would over time be blunted. I also believe what the employee assembly loses, it's one of its largest marketing opportunities. Mm-hmm. As the fund is associated now with the employee assembly. The employee assembly's emergency grant fund, remember, employee assembly's care grant fund. And insofar as you cede it to another organization, then your participation, your history, no matter what it might be written in bylaws or on the website, that's not in front of your constituency. This is an opportunity for you to have your name in front of your constituency every time there's an auction, every time there's a grant fund made, every time that people need to use those services.
Okay. And we
show yourselves to be very, very concerned about your fellow colleagues through ownership of this fund.
Okay, and we lose the $40,000. We don't lose the $40,000.
Right.
But the intent, the donors, the employees lose it going to just staff.
To them about what the individual donors about what they gave it to the grant. They gave it to the program. They didn't give it to employee assembly.
Right.
No, not the employee assembly, but the intent of the emergency grant fund is to help employ staff, and this money will be moved.
That's another thing that's important to be clear about. This doesn't change who the emergency grant fund is for. Currently, according to deadlines, it's for staff only,
mm-hmm.
but the existing employee assembly emergency grant fund committee recommended that it be expanded to faculty.
Right.
And I think Lynette would better be able to speak to what
many
HR
of them are living on a limited income. So I just want to put that out there as well.
Right, and I'm recapping
part of this proposal.
Right, and I'm recapping points here that I've heard people talk about.
You got a question behind?
Are we ready?
Leon? Leon?
Yeah. I'm just wondering if we're ready to vote on
that. We'll have that discussion in a second if we're even ready.
Can someone make the distinction of if this were to pass and if the administration of the fund were transferred to a department effectively instead of the EA, how it would be significantly different from what the university is now doing? Because if it's expanding beyond staff, it effectively seems like the same animal, in which case, why is the dollar amount simply transferred over to the administration wholesale if it's no longer going to be an EA project per se?
that.
I think I can respond to that, and Lynette, you might be able to as well. The monies that are currently in the account, and just so everyone understands, we have two accounts right now. We have an operating account, and that has approximately $19,000 in it. Then a few years ago, the then EA chair made the decision to transfer some of the $45,000 that were in was in that account that had accumulated into what we call an LTIP, a long-term investment pool account. That account currently has around $20,000 in it. And so that is accruing interest of about $100 a month. And that interest is rolling right back into that account. So the account is very lucrative right now. I think it's doing pretty well. So the management of that account currently sits in the Office of Assembly. They don't do anything with that fund. It basically just sits. So by transferring this fund into the Division of Human Resources, it would still be an account. It would still be two separate accounts, I assume, Lynette. And it would just be an operational change. Who actually monitors the account, the distributions, the interest that accrues, the disbursements that are made as far as grants awarded. Really, there is no significant change in the intent of the fund. So I don't know if that answers your question.
It doesn't distinguish how is this then different from what the university side already has now started offering or changed. They recently changed perspective on
that. They're two completely different programs.
Yeah,
the hardship fund is a one-time fund for employees who are affected by the lack of salary improvement, who have certain expenses that for one time they need some extra assistance. The emergency grant fund is meant to be an ongoing long-term program to help people who have a catastrophic situation. So somebody's house burned down and they need money. So they're two separate kinds of issues that they're trying to deal with. The expenses that the hardship program are focused on are routine expenses that, because of the lack of salary improvement, employees are having difficulty making. Whereas the emergency grant fund is for some catastrophic situation that's very unusual that happens. Does that help distinguish? So the idea is that these programs would continue to exist as separate programs.
At five after, we're taking action on this.
Okay.
So Pat, you can respond.
The hardship
and
fund ends. The application deadline for the hardship fund is May 29th, and Lynette signed it wrong. Once the money is gone, awarded, it's done. The emergency grant fund or the new care fund, that will continue. So the one fund goes away, the second one continues. So they are two separate.
Okay, Kelly and then Gary.
I also want to reiterate a point that I made earlier about the Office of Assemblies and what it actually is. So the Office of the Assemblies has oversight over the Employee Assembly, the Student Assembly, the GPSA, Graduate and Professional Assembly, and the Faculty Senate. The Office of the Assemblies is part of the Division of Communications, and the Assemblies are intended to be organs of communication. They are not intended to be, and Peggy has said this a million times, entities that run programs. So there is a big philosophical question as to whether the purview, whether assisting employees actually falls within those parameters of communication. And, you know, I'm going to say this, this is really my perspective. The Employee Assemblies Communications Committee hasn't met in 4 or 5 months. So that really should be the main function of the Employee Assembly, communicating to constituents. It's the responsibility of each person on the EA to communicate. Not to raise funds, not to make decisions about how to assist employees. It's communication about what's going on at the university and bringing information back to the table for your constituents. So if we could all keep that in mind, that is actually the function of this group, I think that the decision about what you should do and what you shouldn't do will be a lot easier. It will be a lot easier, and it will be easier to make decisions moving forward about whether an activity actually drives that work or whether it's actually a distraction, taking you off in a different direction.
Gary.
So, Mr. Chair, I don't think we're in any position to
to vote on this today, and I'd make a motion that we table this to our next meeting.
So I was bringing up. Did you have something you wanted to comment?
Yes, I am sure I'm not sure whether I'm understanding about this, the resolution thing, and I'm not sure, I don't understand who actually makes the resolution, the EA or the Division of Human Resources?
The resolution came out of the Emergency Grant Fund Committee.
The EA.
So from the EA.
Okay, and so right now we're thinking about transferring to the the hardship fund and the emergency grant fund. So once the hardship fund is closed, does that mean that the you've mentioned two accounts. There are two accounts right now. So one of the accounts will be closed, or it will still remain open?
The emergency grant fund will remain open. Mm-hmm. What this resolution is about is transferring the oversight of the program, just the oversight. So basically, what this resolution is saying is, and this comes out of the Emergency Grant Fund Committee has been reviewing this program since January, trying to develop new guidelines to address issues like oversight, to what extent audit controls need to be there, how to best serve employees with this, whether it should incorporate faculty, and has been unable to form a consensus or a policy and bring that proposal to the EA in that time. It's also not been operating really in close contact with the EA in a number of years. So what this resolution is saying is that management, the responsibility for making sure that the fund is in order, for reviewing the guidelines, all of that would fall into the Division of Human Resources. And what the Division of Human Resources is saying is that instead of having, depending on a volunteer group to manage it, there would be paid staff in the Division of Human Resources overseeing the program.
Okay.
Brian, I'll second Gary's motion.
Okay. I have a motion to push the vote off till next meeting.
Before he made that motion, I asked if we could vote on it.
If we could what?
Vote on it.
We needed a motion, though, right?
If you could vote on the resolution?
Yeah. Remember, I asked before he made the motion
right, to
not vote on it, if we could vote on it.
I guess I didn't hear a motion. And I figured that was a
motion. Yeah, there was no motion on the table.
You asked to.
The resolution is the motion.
Okay.
It's on the table.
Right.
And he asked if we could vote.
I asked if we could vote on it before Gary asked if we could table it.
Okay. So, your asking was a motion?
Yeah.
Well, if Gary's motion passed by 2/3 vote, then push off the vote on the resolution itself.
Okay.
Right. That's what I was going to bring it back and ask that we take quick comments on pushing off the vote till next week, and only in that matter. And if that didn't pass, then we vote on it with discussion.
Are you saying there'd be a special meeting next week?
At the next meeting. We wouldn't be able to vote on it today.
Well, you could.
Is there a meeting next week, though?
No.
Yeah,
This is the last meeting of the term unless
there's an emergency meeting or
Brian, can I say one thing? The grant fund currently comes through EAP, which is part of the Division of Human Resources. That's the group that gets to keep the application. None of us were aware that the program is not actually under the auspices of the Employee Assembly. From an audit perspective, I am really uncomfortable about taking any application with the current structure. So if you're going to put it off and delay, especially when we're talking about money, you need to put into something that says the EA is taking responsibility, so if anything happens, because audit is out there, that your organization is the one that's taking responsibility. I'm not prepared to take that kind of a hit. If in fact we have individuals who are not even considered affiliated with the Employee Assembly that are actually administering, we're having some role in it.
So the one thing that I do ask is you're kind of going through from a fiduciary responsibility perspective, I just can't take that. So it's just, there needs to be something that's put into place if you decide to postpone it, because it sounds like it would be like the fall before you get. And there are applications.
No, our first meeting is in June.
Yeah. Begin with June?
Yeah, our first official meeting is
just
June
17th. We haven't received that many applications, but when the word was, you know, when there was some marketing that was done about the application process, we received to make application. My concern is that when the hardship fund closes, individuals will probably start speaking, and I'm not really comfortable, you know, because we're saying it's an employee assembly program, but it's not really being run by employee assembly, but in terms of that we have some issues there.
Okay. Thank you. I have a motion and a second to push this off to a future date for vote. Any discussion regarding that motion? That's,
I just have one comment.
Quick, please.
I'm going to take a full quote from what Kelly said. And Kelly said, you're about communication. You should be communicating with your constituency. This is something you should be communicating with your constituency about. If ever there was an issue in front of the Board Assembly this whole year, this is something that requires communication with your constituency. Ari said, ask the people who gave to the fund where they think the money should be. And I would second that as well. I really think this requires a fair amount of discussion. There's no reason to rush headlong into a decision about this. Again, if this is a good decision for the Employee Assembly, it will still be a good decision for the Employee Assembly in the next round. I don't see a reason why this needs to be done today.
Okay. The motion's on, thank you, Dennis. The motion's on the table to not vote on this resolution now, but to, like I said, put it to a future date, and I have a second, and we've heard discussion regarding that motion. So all in favor?
Aye.
One, two, three. No.
Current number.
One, two, three.
That's it.
No, you can't vote.
Current members.
No, no.
Junior members.
No.
June 1st. Sorry. I'm ready to participate.
One, two, three. Current members. Any opposed? One, two. Abstain. One.
So it's not
a
tie.
No. You can vote.
It's not a tie.
Yeah.
It's not a tie.
Okay.
We have three. Four, two opposed, and one abstain. This will be pushed off to.
Wait, we need a two-thirds vote. It's not enough. We need a two-thirds vote in order to basically cancel out the original resolution vote.
That's not a two-thirds vote.
You have
it's
a
three, two. Back. Huh?
You have a question.
Okay.
Parliamentarian probably pulled that one up. Would it be the same shift in direction?
I don't think so. The one thing, though, that I think it's good to say for the record, what I think when people abstain, they need to say for the record why you're abstaining, because sometimes there might be a conflict of interest. There needs to be some sort of rationale that's for the record.
No, my abstention is quite honest. I'm very much on the fence on this. I actually am in favor of moving the fund in my mind, but I think there does need to be some discussion. I do think we are transferring this over to a new group. I think Dennis brought up some reasonable points. I think for us as current members to make this decision right now without the new members really haven't been involved in all the committee meetings.
So perhaps you should both have some more time for discussion.
No.
Or no. Or no.
Anybody else have a comment for Bill?
Can I just make a comment?
Yeah.
I really think you should give the new employee assembly members a chance to review this and look at it and make our own decision, because it's the end of your administration, and to make a huge decision that affects our assembly like this now, I don't agree with that. But I do understand the whole management aspect. I understand everything that you're saying, but I kind of understand the other point too, that this is something that we started, and it's good, it's positive press for the assembly. But, and also, if there's been issues in the past with the Employee Assembly Committee, Communications Committee hasn't met in months, need to bring that to our attention, because we're the new employee assembly.
Oh, you, okay.
You know what I mean? So that we can address these issues. I mean, I think you need to give the new assembly a chance. And if we decide in the future that we should move it to you, it's still going to be a good decision. You're not hurting anything by not making the decision today.
The full length of the discussion that's happened around this proposal, though, is because the issues, the auditing issues, have been discussed in the Emergency Grant Fund Committee most of this year, and this proposal has been in the works for, I don't know, a good month and a half now. So it's not like this doesn't represent the culmination of a whole
Well, obviously, it hasn't been ironed out. It's been in the works for months.
Dennis?
Yeah, I would like to respond to that, Ari. It's been in the works for months, but there was never an official vote on it. Had there been an official vote, I don't know this resolution would have moved. There was an unofficial vote, as Pat said, but that unofficial vote was held without all members being able to vote on this particular thing. And so you're absolutely right, David. There is quite a given of understanding and feeling about the future of this fund at the committee level.
Pat?
Dennis, I would disagree with you that every member of this committee were given an opportunity twice to attend the meeting in which we were going to discuss this resolution, this concept of moving it. The key people that you're talking about did not support the movement of this fund, and the members who were there did. So it was a vote of 3-1
but
at
actually,
that meeting.
Can I just point out that they're actually not committee members? You're not officially a committee member.
Sorry, Dennis is officially a committee.
Okay.
So can we have some order, please?
One at a time. Leon?
If we're not going to, are we at risk of anything? I mean, Lynette Chappell Williams, before she left, she said something about the EA possibly could be at risk. Regarding, is that something real or imagined, or should we disregard that or not? If we don't do something before September.
I don't know enough about the audit procedures on this type of fund.
So I can't answer that.
Well, our office has sort of been, putting that question off because we've been reassured by the committee at almost every meeting this semester that things were on the verge of being turned into a policy that will clear up all the issues.
I see.
But the discussion in the committee sort of went in circles, and this is a big, I don't know, at some point our office needs to say, you know what, you guys have a deadline by which there needs to be a clear process.
Or we hear from the audit office, or we hear from the council's office. I mean, I'd rather hear some outside perspective.
Well, I mean, our office at this point is not, we don't receive any documentation about payments that are made out or about the process that's made or about who's consulted. And even the membership of the committee is not, there is an agreement about the membership of the committee. There are people serving as members of the committee who were never appointed by.
And I think one thing that's good that's coming out of this discussion is that whatever form this takes, I think the good things are going to happen in the future regarding this form and content. And just secondly, there's a big audit office sitting over in EHAB, and those guys, can help us if there's a question. Once she raises the word audit, it's not human resources, it's a question of the audit office.
On the other hand, the committee has declined for the most part to give out awards.
One last question from me is when we talk about the people who have donated, we don't have access to that.
Actually, you know what?
Do you have access to that?
Yeah, because I'm the person who set up the payroll deduction designation, so I can pull the payroll report for that fund. So actually, I want to respond to an earlier point, which is that the new donors who have been captured since payroll deduction were implemented, are giving to a fund that supports all employees and retirees. Because that is actually what it says on the payroll deduction site. That's the information that's out there. So, faculty have made gifts, and, research associates, if you want to talk about money, they really don't make a lot of money, and emergencies affect all people, and I think it's very difficult to say, your house burned down, you're not, to ask people for a plan. We talked about this, but it's a bigger issue. But anyway, I just want to make that point that new donors who are passing through that process are supporting all employees.
And these donors are faculty and staff, both, not just staff.
Yep.
Okay.
Is a 3-2-1 vote a
majority? Bill just asked a question, though. He could
if he could change his vote.
We have to re-vote.
Which would require me to rescind my motion.
Right.
Okay? And I'm willing to do that.
Okay.
All right?
Okay.
What would be needed is someone to restate the motion I made, and then we can vote again.
Okay. The motion on the table is to extend the vote on this resolution to a future date.
Well, it hasn't been made yet.
No, it hasn't been made. He rescinded it, so it's no longer on the table.
So now we need a new motion?
Someone needs to make a motion.
I'm not proposing this, but I think, you know, we need to determine if, is this going to be to a future date in this month in a special meeting, allowing the existing EA to vote, or extending this to the next regularly scheduled EA meeting, which would be the new EA voting.
That's another point of order. I think if it isn't handled by the end of this, it would have to be introduced as a new resolution by a new EA member next year.
That's right, because I can't do it. My resolution would be null and void.
So it
you
will
can't
be
have resolutions table over the term?
No.
Okay, so there's the answer to that.
You must not be in pace.
Okay, motion's rescinded. And we've had discussion, and I'm looking for a new motion. There's no motions on the table at this point.
I would make a motion that we vote on the resolution as it stands.
Okay, I have a motion to vote on the resolution as stated. I have a second, and I want to take discussion. Everyone should have that opportunity in this. And thank you, everyone, for making my last meeting so
hey, that'd be exciting. Go out with the
if there's no discussion, go once, twice, pass.
Just one final thing. I think it's so important for everyone to realize that this fund is not anything different if it moves to the Division of Human Resources or if it sits in the Employee Assembly. The purpose of this fund does not change. It is out there to help people, to give them money that they don't have or that they desperately need to accomplish a financial issue or to resolve a financial issue. Whether the EA manages that account or whether the Division of Human Resources manages that account shouldn't be as important as the whole spirit of what that fund is. My belief, and I am very strong in this belief, is that this fund deserves strong, solid management and oversight by a group who is qualified, skilled, and capable of handling the operational aspects of this fund. EA will never lose its involvement in this fund. It was started in the EA. That will never change. I think that we are doing ourselves a disservice if we try to continue to manage a fund that has become or has historically been unmanageable by the employee assembly.
Thank you. Any last minute comments?
I have to say that if you use the word unmanageable, it's just inappropriate. The fund has given out a number of awards. There is now an EA membership bonus. So one of the comments about how audits is there's no employee assembly connection to the fund. There is an employee assembly chair on the fund.
That is not obvious.
Then the employee assembly will appoint somebody else to be the chair. Thank you, Kelly. And I believe that it's being categorized in the most draconian terms of what will happen if the fund is not transferred. You have time. As Gary said, there's an audit office. This isn't the only organization that can possibly help the EA. If you feel that the fund needs some outside consulting, you certainly are in the position to be able to ask for that. To partner with the fund is another, to partner with another organization is another thing, but to give the fund over and you have very little input into how the fund is managed after that does not appear to be, thank you, Pat, it does not appear to be a positive move.
One last comment here and we're voting.
It's a question.
Okay, sure.
Administratively speaking, when an individual is planning to, it sounds as if there's two or three programs actually, depending on which party is speaking in the room, and there's been some gray zones about interpretation of what money goes where. But nonetheless, in the current structure with the emergency fund, an individual applies for the fund, presumably through EAP, it sounds like at this point. Who
who would be reviewing that application and making a decision upon that now?
The emergency grant fund.
Correct.
Right.
Maybe.
What's the composition of that group, as opposed to if the fund is given to Division of Human Resources, whether or not it's an accurate interpretation, the way that seems to convey is that it's no longer employees helping employees, it's Human Resources distributing funds based on if they're the ones who are reviewing applications. It's a very different category of funds management if Human Resources is the one who's then making the distribution of the funds and the decisions there.
And I can respond to that. As it currently stands, there is a committee, the Care Fund Committee, of which a member of the Employee Assembly is the chair. The makeup of that committee is still being discussed because we were trying to clear that up. As it stands right now, officially on that committee, there are two Employee Assembly members, one outside member of the community, and we have an ex officio. Those are the official members of the Care Fund Committee. When, if this thing moves over to the Division of Human Resources, there will be a committee very similar in makeup to the existing committee that stands right now. The mandatory piece that we have required is that one member, a minimum of one member of the Employee Assembly, be a member of that committee. So our representation on that committee does not change. We are still a participating official member of that new committee. So I don't see it as a significant change.
Can I actually
thank
add
you,
to
Pat.
That? And it would also include
last, this is it.
Faculty, and it would also include faculty members, emeritus, many of whom have worked with staff for 40 or 50 years and retired. So it would have volunteer composition to represent the entire employee community.
Okay. The motion's on the table. There's also a second. With one change, be it therefore resolved that effective for the fiscal year beginning July 1st, 2009. We've heard discussion. It's been nice. It's been enlightening. All in favor on passing this resolution with the stated date change? Say aye.
I
want to
get a count.
Yeah, you're going to have to do a count.
One. Two, three. Any opposed? Say aye.
Aye.
One. Abstained. Two.
For the record, why are you abstaining?
There are two proxies, I believe.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm so sorry.
That's okay.
Alan Mittman votes yay. And Inda votes yay.
Do you still need a clarification on the abstention?
Isn't this the problem? Technically, I don't know, because it was amended. You're not supposed to apply proxy votes to an amended resolution, but then again, the amendment, I don't know if you feel like fiscal year is clear.
I don't think it makes a difference. But my interpretation of the amendment will not change somebody's vote. Them being able to be here and participate in discussion could have swayed their vote, but not the date change. That's my interpretation, but we need to
proxy voting is so contrary to the principles of parliamentary law for deliberate assemblies that Robert's rules strictly prohibits this method unless your bylaws or charter specifically authorize it. Do they?
Yes.
Okay. If anything's unlikely to cause trouble for a group, it's proxy voting.
You guys don't really follow me.
Well, we're trying,
well,
you know?
Doing
right.
Today.
Yeah, it's a great thing.
We only have eight
yeah.
votes,
so
we have 11 members. That doesn't make any sense.
We have seven present members today.
Right, but if you have your two proxies,
who didn't vote?
I didn't vote.
Brian didn't vote.
And Hazel?
So
She's not on the EA.
Julie Maker.
Oh, Julie.
So we have all the votes. Anybody want clarification on any abstentions?
I think it's a shame that the proxies weren't here to hear this discussion. I think it's going to be irresponsible to plow forward with this thing because I think a lot of good information and debate is had at this, and Alan works in the Office of Human Resources. I can make the case that sometimes if people are not retired on an issue like this that's directly involved with HR, they might accuse themselves. That aside, I just think that that proxy in this instance, yeah, can we technically do it? I guess so. Is it appropriate? I don't think so.
I mean, you could, the future EA could also propose a resolution to overturn past decisions.
Yes, unfortunately, we have the vote at 5-1-2. I agree with everything you just said, Gary. Unfortunately, the vote is here. And proxy votes are counted, and this resolution passes. There was a nice discussion we had. It was, as I mentioned before, it was enlightening. Hopefully, there's no hard feelings as we move forward. And not to be insensitive, but I need a motion to extend our meeting by minimum of 10 minutes. And I ask that everyone stay if they can make it.
So moved.
Okay, motion. Okay. Second.
Just point of order, something to note. The charter change about the grant committee specifically will, technically, going by the book, would need to be confirmed at a future meeting. Although the program, this resolution transfers the program, but the committee technically is part of the charter, therefore requires separate later. Okay.
Anything at a future meeting, Ari, is great in my eyes.
That should be an interesting discussion.
Yes, we're going to move right to the next resolution.
Okay, as I said, this should hopefully be.
I would be cautious about moving forward on what you said going on because that could be very easily called into question.
I'm sure it could be.
Sure, but I'm just saying.
Why would it be called into question?
Because of proxies.
Our proxies are allowed by our charter.
I'm just saying it might be something that people ask.
Somebody put this at that point. Point taken.
Okay.
Okay.
So, again, I'm going to just start reading the resolution. This should be very cut and dry, and I expect I'm going to call for an immediate vote. Essentially, in a nutshell, we're just asking formally the provost's office to be aware and invite the employee assembly to seat an employee on any provost initiative committees, because we've been hearing a lot of rumors around campus and nobody knows what's going on, and I want to make sure that we have a representative on those committees. So the resolution reads, whereas the assembly is a governance body on campus charged by its charter to examine university policies affecting employees and recommends changes to the university president and administration, whereas the assembly has been invited and taken an active role in university-wide committees such as provost search, staff climate survey, cost savings and efficiency, and president's climate commitment implementation, whereas the provost of the university may be introducing new university-wide committees, advisory groups, and review boards for provost initiatives, be it therefore resolved that the assembly is formally requesting that the provost consider employee representatives on any such committees, groups, or boards, and those representatives be appointed through the existing employee assembly appointment process. We have finally resolved this resolution is transmitted to W. Kent Fox, Provost.
Any discussion? Does everybody understand this resolution? I think it's a great idea. Any questions for Jason?
Move to pass it as is.
Second.
I got a motion. I got a second from Bill. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Abstain, we'll pass the resolution.
Okay, 45 minutes discussion.
The other one can wait.
Well, we can get to we have 7 minutes. Okay. Real quick, I just want to, back to the CARE Fund resolution, I just, for anybody who thinks that we did things differently for this vote, I just want to let you know, in 2 years, we have allowed proxies in the past, and therefore, when I made the determination to move our vote from 3-1-2 to 5-1-2. I did what we did the last 2 years and I accepted proxies, especially since the change was minor. Just so everyone knows where I'm coming from on why I accepted those proxy votes. You can't fire me.
The next resolution? The next resolution I'm not going to completely read. It's very verbose and covering some procedural issues, but essentially what we're doing is we're clarifying a change in the charter that after further review and awareness probably shouldn't have been removed. And basically it's just two bolded sections adding back in the words "and other appropriate university administrators." So Article 2, Section 1 of our charter reads, "It examines university policies affecting employees of the university and recommends changes to the president," period. That's where our new charter said. And the intent is that it should say, "and other appropriate university administrators," more in line with what our old charter said. So basically saying we didn't mean to really pluck that out, and we want it back in. So,
that's it for this resolution?
If anyone wants to read it, or
any discussion, any questions? Does everybody understand the intent of this resolution? Okay, it's a little wording change.
The hope is that this is going to go to the president with the final clarification changes, and that he will approve all of these in one shot.
Okay. I would make a motion to approve the resolution as submitted.
I have a motion. I have a second by Leon. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Zero. Any abstain? Zero. We'll pass this resolution.
Do the proxies weigh in on these other two resolutions?
Yes, but my intent was not to count them if we didn't need the numbers. INDA did not vote on proxy on the two remaining proxies. Alan voted in favor of the provost initiative and in favor of the clarification of intent.
Okay. If for future, my suggestion to the employee assembly is that proxy votes go directly to the chair versus to the person who drafted the resolution, just so that doesn't happen, because that could have been bad. If we had moved on and we had two against the first resolution, that could have been pretty bad.
But just to clarify, I did not draft the CARE Fund resolution, where the contention of
chair. Just a suggestion. Okay, I'm going to look at our agenda quickly. We have officer nominations and elections. We have.
The actual election is in 2 weeks. So basically, email me your nominations, and we're going to have a special orientation meeting next Wednesday whose purpose is to discuss what officers do and why for the sake of the new members. So that might be a better time to make nominations.
I would like to take any nominations now openly, though, if that's okay.
The purpose of this meeting is for the existing members to make nominations.
Well, all the
even though
members are coming to the special meeting next Wednesday.
It's not necessarily. You're invited to.
I will be at a conference actually next Wednesday in California.
Okay. Well, we have 2 minutes, so if you want to make nominations, yep.
If you're. Okay, do you have any nominations? If you have any. If you can deny your nomination.
Thank you, Bill.
But let's see your nominations. Any nominations for any officer positions? Okay, I would like to make the nomination. Pat, go ahead.
Sorry. I would like to nominate Jason as chair.
Second to nomination.
I have a second. Okay.
Wait a minute. I wanted to second.
We got a third and a fourth. Okay. Any other nominations?
What?
Do you want that, John?
I would like to nominate.
Maybe not the first meeting.
Hey, we only got a couple minutes, okay? I would like to nominate Gary Stewart as parliamentarian.
Second. All over again.
I have a second. Leon?
Well, I was
going to nominate Gary. Nomination.
You have to be quicker. Right. Any other nominations?
I nominate Alan Mittman for finance.
Do I have a second?
You don't need seconds for nominations.
We don't need seconds? Okay. Sorry.
All I want to say for the record is I was looking at the executive committee today, and we got five white guys in front of the EA. That's not a good thing. It's not representative, it's not representative of staff. And I just really hope that with the next go-around, we really look at that and push hard to get the executive committee looking more like the...
I think we can try to do that. I would like to nominate Linda Kroll for vice chair.
You ready?
Pat?
No, I'm good.
Any other nominations?
new members in attendance, you know, at your your first meeting, the election meeting, is when you can nominate either any of yourselves or any of the existing members. Four that will remain.
And feel free to hang up posters. Feel free to hang up posters. And on a serious note, do some lobbying on the side. Yes.
Do you have any nominations for IRC?
Nobody wants that job anyway.
Something I just wanted to offer, if the new charter isn't effective, envision having nominations occur at the actual meeting, and the existing charter is the same thing. I think you can nominate people.
Yeah, I'll write up
the election.
Pat was first.
I would nominate Leon for IRC chair.
I declined, but thank you. Leon? I'd like to nominate instead Kelly.
I'm not yet.
Huh?
Not yet.
Oh.
There you go.
The thought that counts.
Pat?
Then, Brian, I would nominate David as IOC chair.
Was the IOC stand for
that? General operations.
What I do.
People have job descriptions. I mean, didn't you do that last year? The people have job descriptions with those?
We're having a whole meeting for the new members.
Next week.
I'll let you know after.
You'll find out.
you can decline your nomination up to the beginning of the meeting. You can also nominate up to the beginning of the meeting. Does anybody else have any? Actually, you know what? That's it.
Move to adjourn.
Thank you.
Brian, nice job.